Tango Tango Papa 2069, April 19th, 2021.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this afternoon. Well, it could be this evening. I think it's still afternoon here. From Moriarty, New Mexico. So Moriarty is in the mountain time zone. So it's 4:54 here at p.m. in the afternoon. So I am on my way currently to, if they keep me on this load, I'm on my way to Henderson, Nevada. That's a suburb of Las Vegas. And I'm supposed to be there tomorrow being the 20th, but I don't quite have enough hours of service to get there, so if everything goes right, I should be able to make it to Kingman tomorrow, Kingman, Arizona, and then on the 21st, I can leave very early on the 21st and go ahead and make it to Henderson, I think, is, I don't know, let's say roughly 108 miles from Kingman, Arizona to Henderson, Nevada, something like that. So we'll see. I've been warning them ever since I picked this load up, I picked it up on, when was it? Saturday, maybe? I don't remember. A couple of days ago, picked it up. I've been warning them since then that, hey, I don't quite have enough time. And they say, well, keep checking back with us, which I have done. So I'm kind of running against the hours of service clock. Can only do what I can do. So in any case, we'll see what happens. It's possible that they could have me swap out with somebody somewhere tomorrow, or they could, I could just end up delivering the load. So we'll see what happens. And it looks like if that works out, then after that they've got me pre-planned, or they sent a pre-planned load that picked up in, at the same place in Henderson, Nevada. It's cold storage. Delivering to someplace in Iowa. We'll see how that goes. But in any case, I'm due home by the 27th, which is getting closer now. So just stay on top of that. Keep reminding them. Once I make it home, I think I've gone through this. In the last podcast, got the Ozarks Go appointment for them to install the fiber internet, get that going at my house. I've got to take delivery of the 1/4 of beef that I bought. I should be able to take delivery of that, and there may have been something else now that's slipping my mind that I have to do. But besides meeting, friends to eat and all of those kind of things, so that I would normally do. But in any case, Weather-wise, it's gotten kind of cool at night for the, you know, and I think it's, I don't know. I think people were kind of hoping that it would, after the extreme cold spell that happened a number of weeks ago, it seemed to warm up pretty good. I think people were kind of expecting, well, it's going to just be nice now since we've had all that really cold weather. But now there's been, you know, it's kind of gotten cold at night. I think this morning I spent the night, or I took my break last night in Oklahoma City, or close to Oklahoma City, Edmond, Oklahoma. It's kind of it's a suburb of Oklahoma City. And so this morning I left there, I don't know, it was like 4:30-something a.m., whenever I left there, and it said, the Google said it was 38 degrees there, so that's a little chilly, and but I've seen it get chilly way up into June. I've seen some, you know, I remember one year where it, at least in northwest Arkansas, we had, you know, there was like a morning or two where it was like 45 degrees, and of course people were complaining about it, but the weather is the weather, and it does whatever it does, and, you know, that's why we build shelter, because it's the weather. You just, you can't really depend on it to be consistent. It's, you know, that's the one thing it's not going to do. So, I've got a, actually it's three Voxer files, and we're, you know, I've kind of combined them all into one that I'm going to play from Joel. And I've listened to the first two, and I'm not sure what the third one was about, but we'll be finding that out together as I listen to it, and maybe break in and respond. But now, before that, I was, you know, I mentioned that friend that had died in Lincoln, Nebraska. Well, I kept checking Google, you know, by typing his name in, to see if there, if anything more would pop up, and so a very rudimentary thing popped up from the funeral home, giving his name and his age. His age was 56, giving his name and his age, and simply saying that he had died. They didn't give any other information at all, so. You know, that popped up, and then there was some other thing that also popped up at the same time, probably based on the same information. So, but I got to thinking about that after, especially after the last podcast, and I know a number of people that died, and there's basically essentially no record of it on the internet at all. So apparently there are a lot of people that die without obituaries, and I'm guessing that that's probably more true now than, because we have a tendency to believe that we've got the, you know, the internet, and we've got all the information's right at our fingertips, and that's just not the case. It really isn't the case. Now, back in the old days when there was no internet and all you had were local newspapers, they seem to do a pretty good job of publicizing someone's death, you know, when people would die. And it could be some vagrant, or it could just be anybody that died, and it would get, there'd be articles that would be published about it in a local newspaper. Even if it wasn't a prominent member of the community, you'd have there would always end up being some kind of publication of the public, you know, of the death of whoever it was. And since most local newspapers have kind of gone by the wayside, then we think, well, it's going to be published online. Well, not necessarily. apparently there's a lot of deaths that happen that are never publicized, and so you could extend that to other things. And so we have this illusion that we're swimming in a sea of all information that's available. All you have to do is type in the right search term and you're going to find whatever it is you're looking for. That's not necessarily true. That really isn't true. Even online, for various reasons, and with the obituaries, it's kind of obvious why. Because a funeral home isn't necessarily, you know, now in this case, they publish the death, but there's a lot of funeral homes that aren't going to do that or don't do that as a matter of policy. The obituaries that get published online typically are as the result of someone, they're either a prominent community member wherever, or a relative or someone has made the point of giving enough information or even maybe writing the obituary and getting somebody to publish it online. Even if it's just a funeral home, because if you look for obituaries, a lot of times actual obituaries have been published by funeral homes. So not necessarily, you know, so that's just a case of where something kind of falls through the cracks. But there's a lot of other information, there's a lot of other things that are probably happening that never get publicized, that maybe got publicized back in the old days, but they don't now. But again, we have all this information coming at us all the time, and we think information overload. There's just too much information. We've got, so therefore everything's available. No, it isn't. You've got a lot of propaganda coming at you. And that's why it's a really good idea to, I keep saying, shut it off. And I really have. And I'm still kind of aware of what's going on, unfortunately. And a lot of it is aimed. The aim of it, whether the people that are pushing it, the news people that are pushing it or not, the real intent behind it is to demoralize as many people as they possibly can, get you to feel that everything is hopeless, the world's going to hell, really is going to hell in a handbasket, and people, all people everywhere have lost their morals, and you might as well just throw your hands up in the air and maybe even commit suicide, or maybe you can justify in your own mind being one of these people that goes into a business place or someplace in the public and shoots a bunch of people and then kills yourself. Because there are, you know, there are people that are kind of, let's say, mentally unstable type of people that can be easily sort of pushed over the edge. And so a lot of this stuff is designed to push you over the edge, and it really is satanic. And satanic stuff appeals to what? It appeals to the wrong side of our ego. So the best thing to do is just shut it off, and just, you know, if you have to go foraging for information, because that's what human beings tend to do. We tend to kind of be information foragers. There's plenty of, even online, there's plenty of good stuff. You don't have to bask, you know, kind of immerse yourself all 24/7 in all the doom and gloom. There's plenty of things that you can engage in that don't revolve around being immersed in propaganda. So, and I tend to listen to a lot of YouTube videos while I'm driving. YouTube videos, there are a lot of the churches have online sermons. There's a bunch of different stuff like that. There's scientific stuff that I listen to. People giving lectures, lots of lectures, speeches, etc., that have nothing to do with the news and have nothing to do with all of this propaganda crap. And then the other thing that I spend quite a bit of time with is audiobooks. And there are some good ones out there. Some of them aren't so good, but there are, if you know what to look for, there are plenty of really quality audiobooks. You know, I like nonfiction books, but then I also like some fiction books. One of the things that I've been listening to lately, there's this Dan Simmons is an author, and he's a fiction author. It's kind of science fiction, fantasy type stuff, and I have listened to some of his stuff before, and so now I've started listening. He's got this series. Starts out with a book called The Ilium, and it's, you know, kind of almost 30 hours long, and then after that you have Odysseus, and I'm part way through that, and then there's Odysseus 2 that make up a third part of this, and so that's like 90 hours worth of stuff to listen, and that takes a while. You know, even listening while I'm, you know, I spend hours driving every day, and it still takes a while to go, you know, to kind of listen to all that stuff. So, but it's engaging and it's interesting, and it's not propaganda. So, but you really don't need to kind of immerse yourself in all that stuff. And I know, you know, people, I have friends that say, well, I don't watch any of the news or whatever. And yet, the same person that I have in mind that tells me that spends hours and hours every morning going through emails and reading all these links that people send him. And he's reading all these different websites. Well, a lot of it's negative. And he has this idea that the world is really, America's gone to hell, and we're all gonna, you know, we're going to hell in a handbasket, blah, blah, blah. And it really does end up affecting the way he perceives the real world. Now, the real world is very different from the online world. The real world, if you just kind of cut all that stuff off, in the real world that I exist in, people are polite to each other, generally speaking. People are polite to each other. The people that I'm around, that I spend most of my time around, are pretty honest, etc., etc. It's nothing like what you would get the impression from the online world. So, you know, turn all that stuff off, or figure out what to turn off, and exist in the real world. And I guarantee you feel a lot better about everything. So, anyway, let's go ahead and start listening to Joel. So here is Joel.
Hey, Tom. It's Joel McLaughlin here. Sorry to hear about your friend. I had something similar happen to my aunt a few years ago. Nobody heard from her. Nobody heard from her for a while. And then come to find out from my aunt's son that she had passed alone in her apartment. And when queried about a funeral, he said there wasn't going to be one. She didn't have any money to do that stuff. She had always lived her life pretty frugally ever since I'd known her. She had two cars in my whole 50 years of entire life that I remember. One is she had a probably 60-something VW Beetle, and she had that up until, I'm thinking, sometime in the 90s. When she finally got rid of it, the floor of the Beetle was completely rusted out. And so she replaced that with a Mercury Lynx, which was the Mercury version of the Escort. And I think it was even a used one at that. So, and she never, she had worked, when I first remember her life, she had worked at a defense contractor in the D.C. area. She lived in D.C., so money was always tight. And even when she worked at Vitro, she was also divorced. She divorced my Uncle Jay. And her son, I don't know what happened to her son. I just don't know. From what I gather, he didn't even go over to see her that often. But it just makes me sad. I really never did get to go pay my proper respects. But you talk about your people that you've known that died and didn't have obituaries. That's probably the case here. I don't think she ever had an obituary, so I don't even know exactly what day she died. I just know it was a couple years ago. But in any event, I'm sorry to hear about that, and it's pretty sad. I don't wish that life, that experience for anybody. And one more, after I finish listening to your show, as far as the vaccination goes, I took it voluntarily. I didn't feel pressured at all. I wanted to get, ever since I heard that it was going to happen, I wanted it, and not for any reason, but for me. I don't, although I will say this, though. The idea of, I don't call it like a social credit thing or whatever you want to call it. The vaccine passport thing is not a good idea for multiple reasons. First, if there was a case where there wasn't going to be enough people who were willing to take the vaccine, then I could see it. But I don't think that's the case at all. Because I have many friends of mine who are not necessarily liberal, they're conservative, who are getting the vaccine on their own. And they're not doing it under pressure either, as far as I'm concerned. Some might be. I think the ones that are under pressure are the ones that are for places that are probably going to require it. Places like hospitals and schools and stuff are probably going to require their people to have the vaccination. But I do agree that you shouldn't feel pressured. And if you go and get it, decide you want to get it, and you just decide on it, that's not necessarily meaning you were pressured. And some might be feeling that way, but I don't think it's a lot of people. I think some people are willing to do the right thing. And some of the reasons why I went and got it was because, one, I always actually don't mind trying new things. I've always thought that our government is much too restrictive on some of the medical things that we do, mostly because we are a culture of litigation for some dumb reason. So that's one. Further, though, to go talk about some of the technology that's based into it is actually really interesting from the science aspect of it. There's mRNA or messenger RNA. It doesn't actually alter your genes, according to what I've read in multiple places, multiple sources. But it basically teaches your body how to make the antibodies, which is really what most vaccines do. But it does it in a unique way. It does it in such a unique way that they are talking that this could, I've heard some say that this mRNA one that they have for COVID could also prevent you from getting other coronavirus, many of which are associated with the common cold. So it could eradicate the common cold. That's a possibility. Now, it wouldn't be the same mRNA, but another research project I think that's undergoing, has been going around for a while now, has been, they're talking about mRNA vaccines could cure cancer. You know, you can have a vaccine against cancer. I would definitely line up for that. You know, I've had two mother-in-laws both pass from cancer. I've had other friends that I've known. I have a friend that it's debatable on whether you can say he was killed by COVID or not, because he had stage 4 brain cancer. So, but he, when he died, he was positive with the virus. But he's the guy I went to high school with. So, the technology is there behind it, and the science behind the vaccine. It's a huge reason why it wasn't pressure at all in my case. It's just that I wanted to try it and just to, you know. Yes, technically, I might have been slightly pressured in that. There may be rules that say I can't travel unless I have it, or I can't work or travel for work unless I have it. So that's not a requirement yet for me, or even for travel yet. So could it happen? Yeah, but you know, if it happens, hey, I'm okay with that. You know, so I took it because I wanted to. Has nothing. No one pressured me to do it. So, but what does amaze me, though, is the amount of non-scientific conspiracies are going around with this. The Bill Gates and me, you know, talking about, you know, chips being injected with you for the vaccine. And I'm like, yeah, that's not happening. You know, I don't see that happening. But, and I do acknowledge that masks may not do anything. I wear masks mostly because I don't want to be yelled at. Here's an interesting thing too. My son, he's, for the most part, I would say he's probably anti-mask, but for a different reason. He has autism. So, one thing that kind of goes hand in hand with autism is sensory things. So, I think he early on he actually tried wearing a mask, and he just, it unsettled him to the point where he couldn't function. So, my son and my wife went to his psychologist, and they got a note saying that he was exempt, which is allowable under the rules in Ohio.
Yeah.
What's amazing to me, though, well, I have, and this is kind of what I tell my wife. If anybody says anything as they go in the store, if they're an employee, just tell the employee, you know, he has an exemption. The employees generally say, oh, okay, and let him go on. All right. The employees are not usually the ones I have to worry about. It's these asshats that will run after you. I had in two different cases, and now it helps by where we are currently living. Dublin, Ohio is a fairly well-to-do suburb of the Columbus area. Not that where I'm going, our new house is going in Grove City, is not well-to-do. It actually is. It's about the same so far as income goes. But the other part with Dublin comes is it's highly liberal. A lot of liberal Democrats live in the Dublin area. It's night and day difference going into a store up here versus going to a store in the Grove City / South Side of Columbus area. They are much more lenient on the mass. But up here, you got the disease of the Karens. That would be you know, the kind of people that want to speak to your manager that will end up chasing you down because you're not wearing the mask. That's happened several times. Some of which I had one that literally would followed us until I almost had to go get an employee to ask this person to stop following us. Most generally will stop it, but there's the occasional idiot that will get crazy with it. And I just realized I almost left you a 10-minute message. But the moral of this story here is anything I've done surrounding the current pandemic hasn't been done because I felt pressured. It's just me. I'm just doing it because I don't want the hassle. So I just wear it. You know, somebody says, can you put a mask on? I'll put a mask on. I don't care. You know, I realize they're not doing anything. So the main reason I wear them is just so people shut the hell up. You know, the employees, though, I've generally haven't had a problem with the single store, employee anywhere. My church is fairly lenient on it, even though we've had I wouldn't say outbreaks, but we've had cases where we did have to shut down a week or two outside of the main shutdown because we had several board members and the pastor was exposed a couple times too. So none of them ever got it. So, you know, whatever you say about it, I do think it is a desire for control. And I go back towards to talk about politics for a little bit. Is this MLB, the Major League Baseball policy with the Georgia law, the Georgia voter ID law? And ironically, they didn't want to do it in Georgia, but then they move it to a state, specifically Colorado, that is less diverse and has stricter voting laws than Georgia has. It's like, and at that point, you just kind of shake your head. And our president even agreed with it, too. That would be Mr. Biden. I'm not sad that Trump didn't win. In some ways I am, some ways I'm not. I don't want him to run again. I think there are better people that can run than Trump. That even have a lot of his ideals. So, but anyway, that's some of my thoughts on the vaccine and the pandemic. I know, you know, we're not going to agree on everything, and that's completely fine. I actually think you're taking the most common sense approach for you, you know, and I think, and it's not, in your case, it's not that you are anti-mask, because I don't think you are, but I do think that you're asked, from what you said, you'd do it, and you're not doing it just because you're pressured to. You're you're just doing it just to avoid confrontation, it's kind of why I'm doing it too. So anyhow, take care. Sorry for leaving a podcast for you, but hey Tom, this is Joel McLaughlin here once again, just with some thoughts. I already know where you stand, so I don't really need to, to hear your, I don't really know. I know what you're going to say, just what I'm going to say for the most part, but it's just it's kind of a thought that I was having, and I thought you'd be interested in hearing it. Ain't even talking about it. Today I was just flipping through Facebook, on a break, and a friend of mine, I don't follow the page, I don't even like soap operas, but a friend of mine commented on the General Hospital, which is a long-running soap. My mom used to watch the dang thing years ago, and they said, hey, we're going to show the show tomorrow because they're having ABC, for whatever reason, decided they're going to basically preempt the soap opera because of, they don't even have a verdict yet, and probably won't today, of the Derek Chauvin trial, the guy who supposedly killed George Floyd. All right, well, it was an interesting read to flip through the comments on that, because so many people are like, well, this is so important. I'm like, is it really? If it's that important to you, don't you know where to go watch the damn thing? And it goes to show you how the media, especially the ABC, CBS, NBC of the world, even Fox to a lesser point, thinks that they're the arbiters of what you see. Which you and I both know how much shit that is. And I think the media is, and I'm sorry I use that word. I know you don't care, but it's the only thing word I can come up with. Is that the media thinks that they know what you want to see. They think they think they can tell you what to think. Honestly, in this day and age, they should know that's not the truth. It wasn't the truth even back when they were the only thing that you could see. When we were both kids, how many TV networks were there? There was ABC, CBS, and NBC. And cable news wasn't a thing until CNN came out. And then, when CNN came out, Microsoft and Microsoft and NBC started MSNBC. Kind of funny that Microsoft's not really involved much with MSNBC anymore, because MSN I don't think is even a thing anymore. Then you got Fox News, you got all these other channels. And you even got streaming only things like Newsmax now, which I don't watch news. I don't watch any of it, to be honest. But these people, the media, think they are the only way, which I think is ridiculous. So, and I know you think it's ridiculous too, but it just it just boggles my mind.
Okay, well, thank you, Joel. The only thing that I can really comment that I want to make, and it kind of goes back to the pressure thing, as well as the media. And it revolves around our aim as human beings. Now, I think generally human beings share an aim. We have shared aims, but then we also have individual aims. And if you go back, you look at the Bible and you actually look at the word sin, you look up the meaning of that revolves around aim, having the proper aim. And you sin when you deviate from whatever that proper aim is. Now the problem comes in, how do you know what that aim is? As an individual, how do you know what your aim is? As an individual, how do I know what my aim is? And it's a bit of a tough problem, because we're born into the world, and every one of us is born into some sort of culture. And, we kind of expect our parents, we sort of look at them as, godlike, or they're sort of like God's representatives, is what our expectation is, even if as a kid, you're not able to articulate that. But that is how kids tend to look at the world. Looking back on my own childhood, I can see that was the case. And of course, parents always end up kind of sorely disappointing their kids. But that tells you that there is an aim, that there is an aim for your existence. And generally speaking, your conscience, what we know of as conscience, or we think of as conscience, whatever that is there to kind of tell us what that aim is. But it's not, it's kind of a real-time thing. And it seems that it's kind of easy to ignore, so-called still small voice. It's there and it's kind of easy to ignore until, and of course we deviate from it at our peril, and then we have a guilty conscience. And that tends to be the way we think of it. But we're born into culture, and we're sort of a product of our culture to a large extent. But beyond that, it's really useful. It's been useful for me, certainly, to, once I was a mature adult, it's been very useful for me to examine my own motivations. And I can see, kind of looking back through things, I can see where I was pressured to do this and I was pressured to do that, and there are these external pressures. And then there's this, as opposed to this internal pressure, and it is a pressure from conscience. conscience is not your true conscience is not a cultural thing. Although you can kind of end up creating a sort of false conscience that's a product of that pressure. But if you can really understand what your true conscience is, and I really believe that your true conscience is God talking to you, to put it in, to put it in as blunt of wording as possible. That is God talking to you. And so, but at the same time, you still have to interact with the world. But if you interact with the world in the wrong way, you end up becoming of the world instead of being in the world but not of it. And it's sort of a subtle difference, and it can come across as, if you it can end up kind of coming across as words, or a pretty set of words, but it has real meaning. So there are always people that are always trying to pressure those around them to influence other people to, kind of do what they want them to do. Uh-oh, phone's ringing. I am back. So that was the company calling me, telling me that they had found another truck that was headed to the same place that wasn't supposed to be there till the 21st. But he'd actually passed where I'm at. I'm at Moriarty, which is east of Albuquerque, and so he has to kind of backtrack a little bit, about 25 miles or so. And then we'll make the swap, and then I won't have to be there till the 21st, which I can do. So, in any case, getting back to what I was talking about, it's really important for me to examine my motives, constantly be examining my motives. Why do I do what I do? What motivates my behavior? And I find that if I have the proper motivation, regardless of how chaotic the world seems, and the world is basically just other people, it's just made up of other individuals or other people, whether those people are kind of acting individually or they're just kind of following along with the herd or the crowd en masse. If my own motivations are proper, then I have a, this sense of peace that I've talked about that can't be penetrated. And so it really is important to pursue and kind of constantly pursue from minute to minute, second to second, minute to minute, etc., it's very important to pursue or ask myself examine my own motivations. And it's pretty easy for me to recognize when I run into something, even if it's something on Facebook, which I don't look at very often anymore. Let's say I run into something, then it's pretty obvious to me when someone is trying to motivate me one way or another. And sometimes it's just, it doesn't have to be, it's not overt necessarily. It can be covert. A lot of these people are trying to use reverse psychology, get you upset. That's getting someone upset that's the primary vector to end up losing your protection, you end up becoming infected, because with the upset, you end up becoming infected, whether you like it or not, you end up becoming infected by the motivations of other people. And that's something that I don't, that I avoid. I don't want to be motivated by other people. I don't want to take on their emotions, whatever emotions they're stirred by. And so therefore I don't. And I really don't care how chaotic things become, especially in the online thing, because the online thing really isn't, that's not the real world. Now, we do end up becoming, suffering the some of the effects of other people. Let's say if there's major trends or something, it's possible to end up kind of suffering certain effects. But you don't necessarily have to become contaminated with them. So we just use this mass hysteria that's been going on for the past years, as a good example. Of course, my job went on the entire time. That really wasn't affected. The biggest thing that I had to deal with was, restaurants being closed or just being takeout only, have to eat in the truck. And then there was a couple of 3 months where I wasn't able to, when I was home taking time off, I wasn't able to meet with friends and eat out. That happened a few times while I was home. But then that went back to normal. And then the other thing is this mask thing, but at this point, I have a mask in my pocket. If I go in someplace and somebody demands that I put the mask on, and I've got one I can put on, that hasn't happened for a long while. Even when I was, like the other day, I was in upstate New York, and I thought, well, if anything, I'm in New York, the state of New York, or someplace like that, they're going to be pushing the mask thing. Well, guess what? There's a lot of those places that I went into, I just walked right in without the mask. Nobody said a word. There were people in, customers and employees that didn't have masks. Some of them did, some of them didn't, or they had them pulled down on their chin. So a lot of those people are just kind of ignoring it, because they realize that it's a farce. Now, I haven't had the experience of some other customer in a store telling me that, being the so-called Karen, is kind of coming after me, telling me that I have to wear a mask. Or I haven't had that experience. My existence has kind of pretty much been, with a few exceptions, it's just been pretty much normal. And I haven't been upset by any of it. So therefore, I haven't been contaminated with the hysteria. I think that's one of the fundamental things, is to that's one of the fundamental ways that you end up becoming of the world, is when you end up taking on the hysteria. And it becomes an involuntary thing if you get upset. And the reason is, getting upset is missing the mark. Resenting the people and places and things around you is missing, that literally is missing the mark. One of the ideas that I've thought about, and I think about it a lot, is the idea of what does it mean to be a human being? Apart from the things that we normally think about. Well, that one of the probably the biggest thing about being a human being is the fact that we're conscious. We're conscious of our own existence. We can be conscious of our own motivations. And it's possible to be ever more conscious if you're able to remain calm. Consciousness, for human beings, consciousness is the fundamental element. It's via consciousness that we're able to know, be intimate with our Creator. And if you're upset, if you resent, resentment, as I've said many times, drives an immediate wedge in between you and your Creator. Consciousness, you know, consciousness really is the fundamental element. So you want to aim consciousness as true as possible, as true as you possibly can. Because to do otherwise is literally to miss the mark. So, anyway, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off and get ready for that other guy. He should be showing up here pretty soon. So, in any case, hope everyone is having a great week, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.